And now for reading and writing and radio.
My sister rides her bike to school, but when I asked to go along, my sister said, "But you're the youngest." My brother can swim at the lake alone, but when I asked, all he said was, "But you're the youngest." Mom and Dad were going out to dance, but when I asked if I might go, Mommy said, "Wait a couple of years when you're not so young."
The author of that complaint was youngest child Nina Helton, fifth grade at Jane Addams School, Springfield. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Where are you in your family? Are you the oldest, the youngest, and in between somewhere? Or are you the only one? And how do you feel about your family position? Where are you in the peck order? Today I have with me a number of people, and we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Jackie Jackson, and I'm the third girl in a family of four. I have two older sisters and a younger brother.
I'm Elspeth Jackson, and I'm the baby. I have three older sisters.
I'm Tim Veach, and I'm the oldest. I have two younger brothers.
I'm Jillian Jackson, and I'm the third. I have two older sisters and one younger sister.
I'm Gail Fisher, and I'm the only one.
So we have a representative group here with one gaping absence, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we're going to have a round table and talk about our family position, where we are in our families, and how we feel about it. Who'd like to start? What I'd like you to talk about is how you see your position, the advantages, say, of being the first or the last or wherever you are in the middle, the disadvantages, so forth.
Well, I think third is the best place you can possibly be, personally.
Well, I'm a third, too, Jill. Tell me why you think being third is a good spot to be.
Well, you don't have acres of attention on you so that you can't go off and do mischief quietly in a corner like the first. They
get caught.
Yeah, and they also have to have lots of responsibilities. They're always being commissioned to take care of the younger kids.
I agree.
And the second kid, I don't know, he always seems to have it bad. Second kids are always in competition with firsts, and they always want to be where the first one is, but they
never
can
be. But by the time you're the third, then what?
But by the time you're the third, you come along and you're the third, and you know there's no way you're ever going to be top banana, so you don't even try. And you just cruise along, and the oldest two are always fighting, and they leave you by yourself, and if you happen to be the baby as well, then you have all the baby advantages. I'm not quite the baby, but...
Well, you had 6.5 years of being the baby, so in a sense you had the best of all possible worlds then.
But anyway...
Well, I take it you see the baby as being an advantage. Why don't we jump over to Elspeth and Else, tell us if you think being the baby is the advantage or not.
No. Well, I don't.
Well, go ahead. Why not?
Well, because... Well, first, the things like... By the time your parents get around to having, you know, a fourth or a fifth or a third or whatever it is, that they're so worn out from bringing up so many other kids that they don't give you as much attention. And then also, like, you have to wear hand-me-downs and stuff like that.
What's this I hear, though, from your older sisters who have come to me all the time as you were growing up and saying, "You're spoiling her! You're spoiling her! You never let us do that!" You say you didn't get the attention, but your older sisters seem
to
think...
Yeah, you missed the bad attention, too. You never
That's
had right. to do chores. Well, not until you were considerably older than we were when we were doing them.
It's true. You didn't do the dishes nearly as soon as your sisters did. I agree, though, that there are certain things that you lose out on as a baby, but I lost out on them as the third kid, and so did you, Jill. For instance, my parents had a very fat baby book all filled with details for my oldest sister, and the second baby book was reasonably fat. By the time the third baby book came along, I had a book, but it had hardly anything in it, you know, a couple of scratches on the first page and the hour of my birth and what I weighed and so forth. My brother didn't have a baby book at all.
I never had a baby book.
And it was the same with you, also, that you never had a baby book, and Jill's wasn't as full as her sister's. So that by the time the numbers pile up, the fourth, you know, you didn't have as many photographs taken of you.
And I imagine it would be the same when you go beyond four.
Or
you know,
fifth,
people
yeah.
that have 8 and 10 kids in the family, I can imagine the 10th wouldn't have
anything
no. like that anyway.
I don't know, what you fail to realize, though, is that even though the eldest gets all these attentions when they're first born, is
they
that
have to buy new clothes for them.
Yeah, Elspeth feels keenly the wearing of hand-me-downs.
Oh, hand-me-downs are nothing, Elspeth. You can live.
Right, they're nothing.
But, like, if you're the eldest, though, think of all the responsibilities that's placed on you and all the hope for, you know, like, this child has to be perfect. That's
the way
I always
felt. You don't have to live
felt.
Up to your sister's or your brother's.
If you're the
you
first,
to, but you
if
have
you're the
to first, live up you, to your parents' expectations. Though.
Yeah, if you're the first, you feel like if you don't do everything well, then you're letting your parents down,
but
and that you have to blaze a trail for your younger brothers and sisters and make sure that you know if you have to do everything well, so they won't get any like if you are a troublemaker or something, then you don't want your teachers to relate to your brothers like that. So you
when
feel like you have
I know,
to be
but then when, like,
good
your,
at everything.
When your older siblings like are. You have to, you're put to an example, them. If they were real good, they say, well, your sister did this or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Use them as an example all the time.
My older sister got into trouble in school occasionally, and so my second sister wouldn't get certain privileges because of my older sister. They didn't put her in the operetta mm-hmm. because Joanne had been sort of a prima donna when she was in the eighth grade operetta. And so when Patty came along, she didn't get put into the operetta. Because her older sister had given the director some trouble. Is that sort of what you mean, Elspeth?
Yeah, sort of. But also, like, if they do good things, that, like, if they get really good grades in school or something, then if you don't, they say, well, why can't you do
it? Well, I never had that problem because I never went to the same school as my older
mm-hmm.
sisters did.
But I went right straight through the same school as my sisters did, and that was a problem. My second sister felt it very keenly that she wasn't getting as good grades as Joanne and
well,
people would say.
Well, I suppose you had two to buffer against. They could say, well, you know, you're better than this than in your math. Joanne did better in your math, but you're doing better than Patty did. But
yeah.
Patty certainly was better than you in art. But, you know, so that you kind of mm-hmm. had two people and you didn't come off so badly maybe against.
Well, we haven't heard from Gail yet. Let's get Gail saying something here because, and I see some significance in not having heard from Gail yet. Here all we are, having had brothers and sisters, and we fight our way into the conversation, and here is Gail sitting politely. Do you find, Gail, that as an only child you are given more consideration so that you're part of the conversation with your parents and you don't have to battle your siblings for your place in the sun?
Yeah, that's sort of. But like when I think being an only child, you get to be the baby and you get to be the oldest and you get everything in between, and it's sort of, you get treated like an adult, and then you get treated like a child because you're the only one, you're the baby, you know, you're the, oh, poor little kid, you know. But then also you get to be the more responsible one because there's no one else to look at, you know, there's no one else to compare you with, and there's no one else to take over your responsibilities or anything. And also we went on, like, you get a lot more money spent on you. You get a lot more privileges. And also you get a lot more, you know, like, all your parents, well, they're neuroses.
They're neuroses?
Yeah, they're neuroses.
They get neurotic about you?
No, not about me, but all their little, you know, things that they have. Like, my mother just is about this car she read once where somebody's daughter was popular and beautiful and everything, and she got decapitated in a car. So now my mother has this fit about me driving in a car with anybody, you know, and so you get all these little things from your parents that say...
If you've got 8 or 10 kids, you're...
That's sort
you're
of
more
spread
apt
out.
To figure that dangers are going to happen and so forth.
Yeah. No, well,
I know I've often thought, thank goodness I have 4, because, you know, if one of them at some particular time is being a disappointing child, let's put it that way, you say, well, these other 3 aren't being a disappointing child. Well, pretty soon another one, something happens to them.
We kind of take turns being out of favor, huh?
Yeah, but you can pass it around.
Well, when you're the only child, there's no one to pass around to. And then if your parents get mad at something, then who else is there to take it out on? I mean, you know, everybody has to take out their angers. I mean, I do it, but, you know,
that's
with
when
your
you
parents.
Have a dog.
Yeah, well, who else is there to take it out on, you know? So they take it out on me, and if you had, like, you know, a whole bunch of kids, 10 or something, if you were the in-between or the oldest or something, you could always get lost in the shuffle because there's always so many coming and going and running around. Because being the only one, you can't get lost because if you weren't there, then it's obvious, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I always felt like say if I want to go to a basketball game and someone was going to drive me there and not my parents, I can remember fighting with them till 10 o'clock at night about driving to this basketball game because someone else was going to be driving and they didn't trust anyone else, a teenage driver, driving me somewhere. And now they're much more free about it. And I'm sure by the time my brother, you know, is, I don't know, in high school or whatever, he's not going to have any problems like that at all. Mm-hmm. Because I will have already fought this battle. So I feel like I end up...
Your parents see reason.
Yeah, I always feel like I'm the experimental child and that everything is laid on me. Huh?
Tim the guinea pig.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
There's a dean here at our university that I co-teach with, Phil Kendall, and he's the baby of his family. He has older brothers, and he was talking to another baby. I think it was you, Elspeth, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Anyway, he said, well, he says, it's not so bad being the baby of the family. He said, you're at the end of the parade, and you have to eat a lot of dust. He said, but then the snow is well trampled by the time you get to it. He sort of changed his seasons, but, you know, you don't have to go plowing through that deep snow that Tim has to, making that first track. By the time you get to it, you can just go
well, being an only along. Being an only child, you get all that, plus you get to, you know, like you get to be the guinea pig too, but then there's no one after you to, you know.
To reap the benefits.
Yeah. So you don't. Once you fight your own battles, and then you get...
You don't think it's unfair that all your brother or your sisters or your brothers get to just easily
live
off of...
Yeah, you can't say, how come she can do that when she was 8 and you didn't let me do that till I was 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just the opposite with me, that you always were able to do things when you were 12 and I can't do them now. Like, Mom Uh-oh. Is always scared to death when I have to stay at the house alone.
Well, see, we weren't staying at the house alone. When you have 3... Well, when I was 12, I had a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old sister.
I know, but like when Demi was 12, she had a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and Mom would let her stay alone and take care of you two.
Well, I can't remember whether I did or not, but maybe I did. Your saying this reminds me of my uncle, who is in his 70s now, my Uncle Pat, Uncle Trevor. And he told me, you know, it still rankles, even though he's this old. He said, well, when I was a little kid... And Aunt Ida would give Ronald, that's my dad, your grandpa, a camera or a knife or something like that. And I was 2 years younger than Ron, and I would want a knife or a camera, and they would say, well, when you're as old as Ronald, why, then you can have a knife, and then you can have a camera. And he said, you know what? He said, I never got as old as Ronald.
Yeah.
I would get 2 years older, and they would forget that they had given him a knife at that time and a camera at that time, and so I would never get it.
You're still always younger than your older siblings.
You can never catch up.
There's no getting away from it. Unless, of course, something drastic happens, like they die. But
what happens when, for instance, the second child gets big enough to beat up the oldest and to excel in other ways? How does the oldest feel? This hasn't happened to you, Tim, yet, because your brother's still small enough. But
you can pitch Matt
when the younger kid begins to excel in certain ways the older, doing better at this or that. I suppose that would be a problem for the oldest.
Needham's talked about that with me. I did better in school than she did. And we've talked about it some since, now that we're good friends. And she says she was really upset about that. And it's only recently that she's been able to say, you know, hey, I am good at school without...
Mm-hmm. Well, this happened to my sister, too, who was the second sister, because she didn't do as well in school either as my oldest sister or myself. And just the last time I saw her, a week ago, she was visiting, and she said, I realized that I was not well in eighth grade, and that was why I had such low grades, she said, but I thought it was just that I was stupid and dumb and that you guys were so much better than I was. And I remember that Patty really went into an eclipse because she felt that she was the dumb one of the family and that the others were doing better. I've got a couple of middle kid stories here. They're in handwriting, so why don't I read them? Ward Witkowski wrote this one. He says, not first, not last, but in the middle, yet not second or second to last, but right there, number three kid in line, two in front, two in back in line to get a drink at the fairgrounds fountain. Two on one side of Daddy, two on one side of Mommy, and I in the middle holding two hands as we walk along anywhere when I was little enough to be held, yet old enough to walk. Waiting to be oldest, so always to be first in line if there's a treat at the end, yet also waiting to be the youngest, treated as the spoiled last child and last in line to be punished if we are all going to be. Let's see, learning from two olders, teaching two youngers. The two oldest always joined on any vote on any issue, and the same holds for the two younger. So I always the decider, and still always on a front from two and back from the other two. All in all, I think I'll stay number three, not first, not last, yet two in front and two in back. So there's a kid who's happy with being right smack in the middle of five. But then here's another kid who's smack in the middle of five, and this is written by her mother. We were talking about birthday parties, actually, and this story came out of the birthday parties, but I think it has to do with family position. I decided to ask Tracy if someone's birthday was especially memorable. I've always made a big deal out of birthdays. I ask what they want for dinner, what kind of cake, etc., and then I follow through. I wasn't prepared for her answer, nor did I remember in the same light as she did. Tracy is my middle child, two older, two younger. I can remember one, she said, but I don't want to talk about it. Why not? I asked. Well, it was way back when you were going to school full-time and when we kids all hated each other. We're friends now. But I was 10 then, and Ann and Terry were 14 and 13 and treated me like dirt, or I should say like a dog, and Kevin and Mark just did whatever Ann and Terry said or did. Do you find that's true of the younger kids, that they often just do what the big ones say?
Toby depends does that with Matt.
Yeah, it depends on how much younger they are, I
think. Yeah. You were busy going to classes.
And how much they like their older siblings.
So Grandma said she'd have my birthday dinner, and you agreed, and it just didn't seem like a real birthday. And besides, all the other kids called me dog and mutt when you weren't around, and even that day when you all sang happy birthday, they howled like dogs after each line, and you made them stop. But then Terry gave me a present wrapped all pretty, but when I opened it, it was a can of dog food, and everybody laughed. He gave me a nice present, too, but I only remember the dog food and the howling and how hard I cried. Gosh, I don't remember all that, I said. Well, I do, she said, but it's different now. We're all friends. We're all friends now, especially Terry. I can't wait till he gets home in a couple of weeks. So I guess even if in your family position you resent your siblings, that, you know, you mentioned that, Jill, that you were friends now and so forth.
I think it's the lack of the middle of the second child here is evident, as I think second children are always shyer, because I know we approached many second children, didn't we?
Yes, I asked a number of second kids if they would come and be with us on this program, and they all turned us down. And I think maybe that's sort of significant. Maybe we just didn't hit the right second kid. But
maybe we should have tackled some grown-up second kids. Did we attempt any of those?
I didn't try any. Well, I did ask a few grown-ups where they were in their family, and nobody turned out to be a second kid of the ones I asked. It's not the sort of thing you wear blazoned on your forehead. You know, I am the second child, I am the baby of the family, and so forth.
Well, maybe the second children have a trait to be shy, or since they're always sort of like maybe in the shadow of their older one, then they're always maybe put down by the older one?
I would think, you know, what with, if second kids maybe aren't as, they think they're not as good as the older kids, then if they don't try, then they can always say to themselves, well, it's just because I'm not trying. Not, I could do it if I wanted to, I just don't want to. And so... Yeah.
I found my own spot was better third, I felt better than second, because Patty just followed Joanne and, you know, made the same mistakes and often got the blame for them, and Joanne bossed her around, and then I could sort of stand back and didn't have to be bossed around because Joanne already had somebody to boss around, but then I had my little brother I could boss around, so I was sort of the oldest, you know, the top of the bottom half. And so I had all the advantages of having people break the way for me, and yet I could still be an older kid and push my little brother around. And that worked pretty well.
Well, you said boss around. I just can't stand that when people say the older ones boss the little ones around, because it's just not true. Because
here's a kid right here that wrote in, Denise Kroll from Taylorville School. She says, my sister can really make me angry. She's 15 and I'm 11, and since she is older than me, she thinks she is the boss.
Now, if...
Okay, go on.
I'm going to take a for instance, okay? For instance, Matt drops an ice cube on the floor. This happened. This happens all the time. He'll drop an ice cube on the floor, and I'll say, Matt, pick the ice cube up off the floor. And he'll say, no. And I'll say, well, why not? If you let it sit there, it's just going to make a big puddle on the floor, and someone will fall and trip on it. And he goes, well, who made you boss? Why do you think you can tell me what to do? When I think it's just that... I don't know. It's just stupid things like that.
Some kids are just devoted, like...
Little just kids little just are devoted to being against their
ornery.
Olders.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because the older one says, and they say, no, why should I do that? Who are you? You're not my mother. Stuff like that. You're not my father.
I like the imitation. It's perfect.
Very good, right? Don't you find, I found that as a little kid that I developed all sorts of sneaky ways to get around the older sisters, that you couldn't beat them up. And you couldn't outsmart them. I mean, they knew, in some ways you couldn't outsmart them. They were ahead of you in school and so forth. But you could think up sneaky ways to get back at them. And you know, if my sister had a temper, I could needle her. And then she'd haul off and sock me. And then I could run and yell, Mommy, she hit me, you know. And she'd get the blame for it, whereas I was the one that had caused her to do it. I deliberately needled her to get her mad because I knew it would do it. Don't you find sometimes little brothers and sisters can...
All the time.
...can get around Constantly. The oldest and the so forth? They have their ways.
Well, Matt especially will just come up to me and he'll hit me. Literally, he'll just come up to me and hit me. And I'll sit there and I'll hit him back and he'll run to Mom or Dad, particularly Dad, because Dad was the baby of the family and Mom was the oldest. So
here's a whole new area we haven't talked about.
Parents.
Your parents' positions.
Mom tends to relate better to my position in the family, and Dad tends to relate better to Matt and Toby, especially Toby, because Toby's the baby, and he assumes that anything
that... Us babies have to band together.
Well, he assumes that anything that Toby complains about, if Toby says, well, they hit me and blah, 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 he'll immediately agree with them, and he'll get very mad at us because we're picking on little children. But if someone comes up to you and hits you, then you hit them back. But that doesn't seem... I can remember that. I hit Matthew back really hard once, and he was crying. And I think they overdo it. They sit there, and Matthew rolled around on the floor and was screaming. And I just
hit him. Hit him in the guts.
I didn't hit him that hard, and Dad came storming in the room, and I remember I got grounded and all kinds of things happened to me.
I have a question. What do you think about being, you know, first or whatever, baby or third, about making friends outside? Like, as an only child, I find that I can be more of an extrovert because since there's no one at home to be a playmate, you know.
You don't have any buddies at home, so you have more buddies outside?
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem with me because, like, in a way, I'm an only child because, like, Jill is 6 years older than me, so that, like, you know, she's busy
You're home alone a lot.
Yeah, I'm home
alone
a lot.
You're alone. Your other three sisters were a team.
Uh-huh. But ever since third grade or so, I've gone to a real small school where there's people all over the city, too, that, like, I can't get friends that are close to home because I don't know anybody close to home. So that's a bit of a problem when you don't have sisters your age to get their friends.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a lot of my friends that have big families have their sister's friends or their brother's
friends. Yeah, kind of family friends, group friends.
Yeah, they all hang around together.
I don't know, being the oldest, I think I'm maybe more domineering because I've had to struggle through with, you know, fighting with your parents and fighting with your brothers, and always I always feel like I'm on the offensive. So I kind of am more of an extrovert, I think.
I never really fought being an only child. There's no other kids to fight with, but I never fought with my parents because being the only one, if you fight with your parents, then
it's
especially my parents, that's not the best thing to do. The consequences are pretty bad if you lose.
Here's something we haven't mentioned, and that is the differences in sex, boys and girls. I have a friend who said, yes, she was the second child, but it was as if she was the oldest because her brother was the oldest, and she was the oldest girl. And there were four kids after her. There were six in the family. And she said he would get to study and go and play ball and so forth as the oldest boy, but she was had to stay home and take care of the kids and do the dishes. And so she felt it was quite unjust and as the second child in that situation, but that if it was different because the oldest child was a boy.
Yeah.
Let's take a final question. I know this program is going on longer than usual, but I'm enjoying it so much, and I'm hoping everybody else will be too. If you could set up an ideal family for yourself, with you in it where you wanted and the various sexes, what would you do? For instance, Anne, would you stay an only child?
Gail,
I'm sorry, that's your mother, Anne. Would you stay an only child if you had it to do over again, if you could set it up like God?
Well, yeah, I think so, because it's a nice place to be, being baby and being oldest.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't give yourself an older brother to...
No, because then they'd get the attention. I think if my parents had another kid, I'd be severely jealous.
I know that Demi, our oldest, my oldest, often said as she was growing up that, you know, couldn't we adopt an older brother for her? She wanted an older brother. What about you, Jill?
I like being third. And I wouldn't give it up for anything.
Do you change the age differences or something?
Yeah, we haven't talked about age differences, the big gap that you've got, for
instance. I would have liked a boy in the family. I find that a...
That was the luck of the draw. It is.
Yeah.
And
I would have liked a brother. And I don't think I would have wanted him to be oldest. He could have been either second or younger than me. But I would have liked a boy.
What about you, Tim? Would you... change your family? How would you change it ideally?
I think I'd like to have first an oldest brother and then a sister that was older than me and then me.
Ha! You want to be third too.
But and then I want little brothers and sisters after me. I'd probably like a little brother and a little sister afterwards.
You'd like a bigger family then?
I'd probably like a bigger family. I just feel like...
Well, then you'd have one of each. An older brother, an older sister, younger brother, younger sister.
Because that way I think I would just feel...
secure.
Yeah, I feel more secure.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Like that other paper.
I think I would like to be like third. But like have an older brother and an older sister, and then have an age gap or so of about maybe 4 years maybe, and then have like a younger sister, like maybe a year younger than me.
That was the plan originally, Elspeth.
No.
you were scheduled to have
I know.
You were scheduled to have a couple of younger ones than you, but it never came to pass. So that you were sort of there, the tag end by yourself.
Everybody thought I was a mistake.
Well, you weren't at all. You were planned and wanted.
I was a mistake.
Well, this is a whole interesting topic, and if anybody wants to write in about, you know, whether they think they were mistakes, that's all right. Well, for our writing today, all of you that are listening, I think the topic is obvious. How do you feel where you are in your family? What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages of your family position, where you are, first, second, third, only? We haven't anyone in this group from a really big family. We go as far as four, but what about families with 5, 6, 7, 8, and then there's this family of 10 and 15, and the family in Taylorville that has so many foster children.
Yeah.
A fellow wrote into the program that he was one of 43, and I thought, good Lord, and Joan Meyer, who lives over there, says, that's right, that's right. They've got that many. And, of course, most of them are grown, and there's never that many at home. But what's it like in a really big family? That would be an interesting thing to hear about. And if you could change your family, maybe this question that we put to everyone, how would you change? Where would you be in your family? How would you change the sex lineup? And the other topic that I found of interest was, how do you think your parents affect you because of where they were in their family? I know, Jill, you and I have talked about the fact that both of us are the thirds, and you felt that I had some expectations of you to be like me because you were the third and I was the third and so forth, and you felt that was somewhat of a burden. There's that whole aspect. So write into us how you feel about your place in your family, and we will look forward to all the different answers and all the different stories that I know we're going to get.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.